Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here live on a Friday. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We're taking phone calls for the next 2 hours, folks. So if you want to be on the show, call in 406-294-0970. Also taking messages on the app, and I got a couple of these. Amy in Helena says, good morning, David, George, and Montana. She sent this last hour during Freedom Friday with George Blackard. She says, speaking of Bongino, he said the new acting director of the Secret Service is Roe. Roe was the second in charge under Cheadle. He is the one who would have had direct oversight on details and authorization of additional detail. The agency just jumped from the frying pan into the fire. This is absolutely unacceptable. Good point, Amy. And I still haven't heard from the Secret Service what I demand to hear, which is whose responsibility was it to secure that roof and who screwed up? And somebody needs to admit that they made a mistake. Because without that, without the name of the person and a good explanation of how this happened and how this screw-up happened and how they're going to hold that person accountable and how they're going to prevent this from happening again, without that, you're just going to see more and more and more theories out there about what really happened here. Lightbrows in Hardin says Randy Shugart also received the Medal of Honor for actions in Somalia. He owned land in the Bitterroot and planned on retirement. Thank you for that, Lightbrows. Yeah, last hour we were talking about the Medal of Honor recipients from Montana. George Blackard mentioned, I think there's 9 of them, if I remember that right. Pretty cool stuff. Also, this blows me away. But folks, do you guys know that the federal employees in Washington, D.C., the federal, they don't ever go into the office? They're still working from home. Isn't that mind-blowing? This is from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity hotline. Only 6% of federal workers have reported back to the office. 6%, at least for 40 hours a week. I'm sure the percentage is higher for coming in one day a week. But only 6% of federal employees are in the office 40 hours a week. Rows of empty office cubicles have convinced the EPA to actually transfer its office space to other federal agencies, including its headquarters. So the EPA's offices are completely empty in D.C. Look at this. The EPA is spending more than $90 million a year for an office that's completely empty. And that's just one example. That's just one example of the EPA's headquarters in D.C. You've got hundreds of millions, probably billions and billions of our dollars, of our money, being spent on federal office space, and these federal bureaucrats are all working from home. They're never going into the office. All these offices are completely empty. That, to me, is completely unacceptable. That is not okay with me. This is David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
Securing America.
In a joint appearance with Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General C.Q. Brown identified America's 5 top global challengers.
People's Republic of China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and violent extremists. All 5 of these challenges are active today. And increasingly interconnected.
That makes NORAD's intercept of bombers from 2 of those challengers, China and Russia, off Alaska's coast significant. Secretary Austin said they did not breach U.S. airspace, but one small fact should be noted.
It's the first time that we've seen these 2 countries fly together like that.
Secretary Austin was asked, given President Biden saying he won't seek re-election, is this an adversarial test? He replied,
they're always testing us, and that's no surprise to any of us.
NORAD says it will continue to monitor what it called competitor activity. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
4.
Hey, coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, I'm going to be posted up at the Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls just for the early morning hours. I'll be doing some recorded interviews for some of the folks that are in the Flathead for the Governor's Cup Golf Tournament. Meantime, David Noble is going to be filling in back in the studios, taking your phone calls, giving his great insight, and much more. And then on Monday, I'll be back in studio with some highlights from the Governor's Cup. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, folks, we do have the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation and Jeff Laszloffy. Go ahead and play that, Travis, if you would, please. As soon as there goes.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszloffy.
Over my 25 years in public policy, I've had the privilege of being in Washington, D.C. during some of the most important debates of our times. I was at the U.S. Supreme Court when they were deciding who would be president in the case of Bush v. Gore. I was inside the U.S. Supreme Court for the oral arguments in the landmark Espinosa case on school choice, and later that same day sat in the U.S. Senate chamber during the impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump. I was at the Supreme Court again for arguments in the Dobbs case, which eventually overturned Roe v. Wade. And in each case, it was an honor and a privilege to have a front row seat as we as Americans struggled to find a path forward during tumultuous and uncertain times. I did not feel the same way on Wednesday when I found myself in the middle of the crowd protesting Benjamin Netanyahu's speech in the U.S. Congress. This bizarre experience actually began on Monday when I left for a business trip to D.C. only to find all of my flights on Delta Airlines canceled because of a computer glitch. No problem. I quickly grabbed one of the three remaining seats on a United flight and still made it to D.C. on time. Tuesday was typically uneventful and filled with meetings, but Wednesday is when things got interesting. After lunch, I grabbed one of my coworkers and said, "Let's take a walk around the Capitol." We'd been cooped up for 2 days and needed a break. The first thing we noticed was the incredibly high police presence that began about five blocks from the Capitol. That's also when we began running into protesters wearing keffiyehs and Muslim women wearing abayas. I've spent lots of time in the Middle East, so none of this is unfamiliar. What was strange was seeing huge crowds dressed this way in our nation's capital. The other thing that was disconcerting was the enormous number of pro-Hamas signs mixed in with a large pro-communist party presence. Sure, there were the typical anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Netanyahu signs. That was to be expected. The Israeli prime minister was in town. But Hamas is a terrorist organization that committed unspeakable atrocities on October 7th, in addition to beheading and throwing their own Arab brothers off of buildings when they took over Gaza from the Palestinian Authority in 2007. Thankfully, my coworker and I were able to get behind the police lines before things got really ugly. As the crowd got near the Capitol, they were blocked by 1,000 police officers bussed in from as far away as New York City. Pepper spray began to fly, and the crowd turned its attention to Union Station. There, in addition to burning an effigy of the Israeli prime minister, they turned decidedly anti-American. First, tearing down and then burning the American flags that adorn the front of the building, and then raising Palestinian flags in their place. They also took the opportunity to spray paint pro-Hamas graffiti all over the beautiful statues and fountain at the entrance to the station. For someone who loves our nation's capital, it was heartbreaking to see. I was watching Isaiah chapter 5 play out before my eyes in real time as this destructive mob was calling evil good and good evil. It was a joining together of radical Islam, ISIS supporters, Antifa, Hamas, and members of the Communist Party, all in the same place at the same time. Wake up, America. If Wednesday is any indication, they're just getting started. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Wow. Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Well, isn't that interesting? I just quoted Isaiah 5 yesterday about woe to those who call good evil and evil good. What an update from Jeff Laszlofy. What's crazy is John Kirby, spokesperson for the White House, he's the white guy that Biden brings out to try to replace Karine Jean-Pierre, which is just this bizarre sort of situation that they've got going. But John Kirby was given a press briefing yesterday, and he admitted that some of these protests in the United States of America are funded by Iran. How is that not one of the most important news stories out right now? I saw that clip of John Kirby saying that, we are aware. Yeah, some of these protests are funded by Iran. There's no doubt. And wow, how is that not a bigger news story? That to me is just absolutely striking. And then you look at these protests and what happened here in D.C. Recently going against Israel and this stuff where they're putting up, Hamas is coming. They're putting up abolish the USA. That sounds to me like those were probably funded by Iran, because obviously Iran is very, very interested in stoking anti-Semitism and racism and bigotry in the United States, because the more useful idiots in the United States that turn on Israel, the better it is for Iran. That's the reality. But that's unbelievable to me that we are aware that Iran is funding protests in the United States. And what's the Biden admin doing about it? What's the Biden admin doing about it? Nothing that I'm aware of. Let's go to Matt in Billings. Matt, thanks so much for the call.
Good morning. I was watching Kamala Harris talk to the press after she met with Netanyahu. One thing that was staggering to me is, like, during the October 7th events, Hamas killed 32 Americans. Let me say that again. Hamas murdered 32 Americans and then also kept hostage 7 Americans. We don't hear any politicians, or very rarely do we hear our politicians talking about these Americans and what are the repercussions to Hamas for doing this to Americans.
Good point. Good point. And they took Americans hostage. Matt, we're up against the break. I'm going to put you on hold. If you've got more to say, stick with us. If not, that's fine. But good point. They never talk about that. And they never talk about the Americans that were taken hostage either.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Like politics, hockey is a contact sport, so it's only appropriate that hockey instructs us on a unique opportunity for Democrats with President Biden dropping out. In hockey, there's something called last change. The visiting team always puts its skaters on the ice first before each face-off. That gives the home team a slight advantage. They get to see which line the visitors run out onto the ice. The home team then chooses which players it wants to create the most favorable matchup. Because they are the incumbent party and their party convention comes second, Democrats have last change. The GOP has gone with former President Trump and Republican Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. But the Democrats now have an opportunity to put whoever they think matches up best. It could be Vice President Harris. It could be someone else. And that's to say nothing of a possible running mate. Any combination. It's unclear if Democrats might take advantage of this opportunity, but with their convention still a month away, they have last change. Republicans are set, but Democrats still have some time to eye the ice and put out their best matchup. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Call- is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're live on a Friday, July 26th, and we're talking to Matt in Billings about how the fact that these politicians never, ever mention the 32 Americans killed by Hamas on October 7th, and they never mention the Americans that were taken hostage on October 7th. Matt, thanks for the call again, and what else did you have to add on that?
I just want to add a little bit more to that, because I'm a real simpleton, but as I think about this, we shedded a lot of blood and a lot of scars over in the Middle East for 20-some years, but then our politicians and our military don't apply it to it. Think about it. Our politicians on both parties, if you ever hear, and especially the Democrats, are they worried about getting meds and food to Gaza, a.k.a. Palestine, a.k.a. governed by Hamas, but they're never worried about the Americans that have been killed and harmed. It's unbelievable, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree. Why aren't more people raising that issue though? Either Matt, that's the other weird thing.
That's a scary thing to me. That no one's concerned about it. And I think here's the thing. I think if I was a Republican or Donald Trump, I'd bring up the issue like, hey, you know, we support Israel 100%, but we also want to know what's the repercussions for the 32 Americans and 7 hostages that they tortured. And furthermore, we go around and we kill terrorists all over the world for harming our guys. But what's even more crazy is that we shed blood over the Middle East for 20-plus years, and then we expect these people to change their culture. They're going to bring supplies in there. The men, Hamas, are going to take it over and make the women and children starve. I mean, how stupid are they?
That's right. So, Matt, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this, okay? Because when I hear about the fact that Hamas killed 32 Americans and that Hamas took Americans hostage, to me, that justifies not just supporting the Israeli military wiping out Hamas, but that gives the United States and the U.S. military cause to go wipe out Hamas. And I don't know why we didn't send in the U.S. military to wipe out Hamas until such time as all American hostages are returned.
And furthermore, then Israel's asking for certain ammunitions or weaponry, and our government's stalling it.
Unbelievable.
Boots on the ground, and our government's stalling it. Unbelievable. David, have a good day. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for the call. Great call, Matt. Yeah. Biden is delaying military aid that's been fully authorized by Congress to Israel for obviously partisan political reasons. And isn't that why they impeached Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump actually didn't do it for partisan political reasons and actually had legitimate reasons for it? But didn't they impeach Trump for that? Of course, you know, impeaching Biden at this point is you don't really need to do it because he's on his way out. Got a message from Lucas in Broadview, and we were talking about the Secret Service incompetence last hour. And so Lucas in Broadview says, good morning, fellas. I wrote and instructed protection doctrine for the Department of Defense. Secret Service was my direct vetting authority, and I worked with them on training and development all the time, including conducting multiple real-world POTUS missions. I will tell you that Trump's initial reaction was the only thing that was done correctly, and the Secret Service was ultimately responsible for securing that roof. Well, thank you, Lucas, in Broadview. Good info to have. Yeah, I actually didn't know that the Secret Service was trained to basically, like, rush the president, tackle him, dive on him, cover him up if there's a shooting. I mean, I guess it makes perfect sense, but I didn't really know that that was what you're supposed to do. I kind of figured it's like this whole issue of like, okay, do you focus on trying to find the shooter and trying to take out the shooter, or do you focus on the protectee? And I guess they're sort of taught to focus on the protectee. By the way, I got this incredible email forwarded to me. It's an email from Tom Burnett, who I'm sure many of you know, talking about how radical Bozeman, Montana has become. And of course, I'm from Manhattan, Montana. Went to public schools in Manhattan, Montana, all the way from preschool, all the way through graduation from high school, and grew up in the Gallatin Valley. And so to see Bozeman what it is today is really pretty sad. But I'm going to read some of this Tom Burnett email because it was so good. He says the established religion is pride. The pride flag flies at the Bozeman City Hall. Bozeman has crosswalk pride flag paintings. There's a non-discrimination ordinance. The countless resources of taxpayers went into creating the Belonging in Bozeman document, which is a state-of-the-art DEI action plan. There's a BLM rally and march in Bozeman. Bozeman City Commissioner tried to defund the police. There's Bozeman-based BLM groups, Bozeman United for Racial Justice, Montana Racial Equity Project. There's an active chapter of the DSA, which is the Democrat Socialists of America, in Bozeman. They meet weekly. They're straight up socialists and communists. The Bozeman City Commission is pushed to spend $670,000 on tenant right to counsel to stop evictions. Which, by the way, if you're a tenant and you're not paying your rent, you should be evicted. I don't understand how these tenants can hire lawyers to defend against an eviction when they're not paying their rent. I don't know. It just seems so odd to me. Like, what, you know, what can a lawyer do for a tenant that's not paying their rent? There's not a lot, as far as I'm aware. Of course, I don't defend evictions. I leave that up to these Democrat lawyers. The city of Bozeman also has a sustainability program with the manager and a specialist. Bozeman Tenants United is adverse to private property rights. The Sunrise Movement has avid adherents and activists working in Bozeman on insane green energy policies. High school students in Bozeman are pushing the Green New Deal. The school board in Bozeman has an equity advisory committee. The Patriot insignia displayed in Bozeman High School's main office is three instances of the pride flag. Is that true? Does anybody in Bozeman know? Can anybody confirm? Are there three pride flags in the Bozeman High School's main office? How is that acceptable? There's also a bunch of other stuff in here. Fantastic piece put together by Tom Burnett. Talks about the city allowing the urban camping. Talks about how the Bozeman Public Library did not have any of five conservative books that he searched for. Other libraries in Montana had some or all of them. There's supporters brought this radical land use professor to town to disparage private property rights. And then he concludes, Bozeman may rival Seattle and Portland in radical ideology. All we're missing is courthouse defacement and a Chaz autonomous zone. Very, very, very good email there from Tom Burnett. Really appreciate that getting forwarded to me. I guess I'm going to go to the phones here. I'll go to Jay in Bozeman. Jay, thanks for calling.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. You?
Good. So look, I'll keep this nice and short. I didn't get in last hour, but and I know this is kind of, it's not an old topic, but it's important. The shooting of the attempted assassination of Trump. What I'm calling, they tried to grassy knoll him. So I am a retired police officer. From the East Coast, and I secured as a sniper Rudy Giuliani's visits and public speeches to Central Florida, and worked with the Secret Service. Whatever was done with Trump was not what was done when I did it. I'm not defending the Secret Service, but I am saying they do use local law enforcement a lot. Me and my partner were vetted before we were put on the roof of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Center to oversee his public speech, and. Yeah, what they did there was awful. Their lines of sight were obstructed. They had no operational security. They had no common communications network. They had no drone support. We had drone support. And this is back in 2008, early 2008.
So how could that happen? Jay, how could this happen? I mean, thanks for calling, by the way, Jay. I didn't know that. I didn't realize you were going to be this well-versed in the topic, but I'm curious, like, how could this happen?
Well, one of two things. And either one is bad. Incompetence, pure and simple, incompetence, or purposeful and intentional dereliction of their duties. Yeah. They allowed it to happen. How the hell did a 20-year-old get a ladder on that building with a sniper team or a police team inside of it? How did that happen? How were they allowed at 153 yards? People don't understand. I mean, hunters may, military personnel or veterans may, but that is a chip shot. that's a shot where I don't even have to adjust my DOPE, which is an acronym for distance of previous engagements. So I know how to adjust my optic to hit out to 800 meters, which is what I was trained to do. I've been through 5 sniper schools. I was a sniper trainer and instructor for law enforcement. And I'm telling you now, what happened there was intentional, because I don't care who you are. You cannot be that incompetent. You cannot be. And also, that female ICE agent that's on tape, I hate beating her up because I don't know her. But I will say, one of the very first things that I was ever trained on as a police officer, know where your equipment is. We used to have to blindfold, and they'd call out a piece of equipment, baton, magazine, handcuffs, and you had to touch it. It's a pass-fail. 500 reps to get muscle memory, 500 repetitions. She should have been able to put that holster in, protect or holster her sidearm, and protect that from someone else getting it without looking at her holster. She is incompetent because she has incompetent training because of incompetent leadership. It's DEI all the way, and this was an assassination attempt by our government of a person who purports or is next president and will be our next president. Pure and simple, that's my opinion.
Well, I appreciate the opinion. One last question, Jay, and then I'll let you go. The media, the mainstream media, keeps referring to a 5.56 round as a high-powered rifle, and I'm curious, would you consider a 5.56 rifle high-powered?
It's a high-velocity round. It does a lot of damage because it's designed to keyhole in the body, and the terminal velocity is such that it transfers a lot of its kinetic energy into the target, creating a large wound cavity, and then multiple wound cavities as it fragments. But no, it's not high caliber. I used a 7.62 or 308 round in my sniper equipment, and I'll tell you now that that is a high caliber, high power weapon.
Perfect. Well, thanks.
5.56 will do the job, but no.
All right. Thank you so much. Fantastic call. We're going to go to Big Jim and Richard on the phone lines right after this. And we do have 2 open spots for you to get in line. 406-294-0970.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Let's go straight through the phone callers, and then we're going to have a special message from Aaron Flint. He's out and about in the Flathead right now. You can go find him and see him, and we'll play his message here just in a second. But Big Jim has been on hold for a few minutes. Big Jim, am I reading that right, that you're in Illinois?
Actually, right now I'm in Bozeman, but I live in Mokina, Illinois. And one of the things I'm very proud of in Mokina is our former police chief Tim McCarthy is actually the only Secret Service agent who ever actually took a bullet for the president. Tim was a big guy. He played football for University of Illinois. And if you look at the clip of Forrest Gump, there's a little clip up in the right-hand screen that shows him taking the bullet for Ronald Reagan. And supposedly he hit Ronald Reagan so hard that he broke his ribs. So, no, they're trained to manhandle, and he saved Ronald Reagan's life that day. And Nancy Reagan, every year after that, would call Tim and thank him for saving his life. No, you need a big guy like Tim, somebody that can manhandle and is not afraid to take the bullet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, good point. Good point. Great call. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that. Let's go straight to Richard in Jordan. Richard, thanks for calling.
Good morning, sir. If I could, I mean, as happens with me quite often, I start hearing conversations. My mind changes gears a little bit, but I would still like to get back to my point of Bozeman here in just a second. I would like to point out something that very rarely is pointed out when it comes to, you asked the question about the 5.56 round and exactly what that means.
Right.
As far as this chip shot that everybody talks about how easy that shot would be, I would like to make the point that in my day, when I entered the service, we had to qualify with the M16, which is a 5.56. And when you qualify with that, which means you have to go out and shoot targets and prove that you can handle that firearm as set up by the military as just a stripped weapon. It's got iron sights, which means you have a front post and a peep sight in the back. So you're just looking through a little hole, and you're placing that front sight post in inside that little peep sight in the proper way to make an effect downrange, okay? We had to qualify at a maximum range of 300 meters with the M16. 300 meters equates to 328 yards.
Which is like twice as far out as that shooter was.
That guy made a shot with an ACOG scope at 135 yards. I could do that. That's a layup with iron sights. That's close.
Which is why he got so close, probably. But this guy's a loser. He doesn't know how to shoot. He's a Democrat.
Exactly. My other real quick point to Bozeman. I understand what you're saying. Bozeman has become insane. But that's not the people. It really isn't the people that live there. I equate Bozeman to being a prison. And you can't blame the inmates for what the people that are running the institution are doing.
Well,
they just can't do anything about it.
You guys voted for these Bozeman City Commissioners and Gallatin County Commissioners that are doing all this crap.
Well, we hope they are. We hope that's what it is. We have no proof of that. We also don't have proof that they're cheating in Bozeman. But you got to remember that they found nefarious voting practices taking place in Missoula. When they did that investigation, they tried to stonewall the investigators in Missoula County and in not turning over ballot results, not turning over stacks of ballots, things like that. There's a reason why they did that. And Bozeman's no different.
Right. So when I read that email kind of listing off all of those examples of how just sort of like radical left the Bozeman city has become, did that ring true to you being a Bozemanite?
I am not a Bozemanite. I'm a Jordanian.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize. Yeah, your topic is Bozeman. You're not in Bozeman though.
No, I'm not in Bozeman, but I follow the politics of Montana very closely because I am born and raised. And I do pay attention to the key areas in the state that start tending to look very blue and act very blue and or even, you know, communist in my eyes. And when I start seeing the spread take place, I tend to pay very close attention, but I am also listening to a lot of people that call into Aaron's show on any given day that are from Bozeman, and I hear what they're saying, and they love the Bozeman area. There's a lot to love about it. There's a lot to love about the Missoula area, but
for sure,
they can't go. It's not like they can go anywhere else. They can't just pack up and leave, and so they're trapped, and I know there's a lot of people that call in Aaron's show that are saying, look, I would love to do something about it, but it's like I don't have a voice anymore.
Right.
And now, granted, I completely agree with these people when they say that their voice is being shouted down. People are moving in there of a particular persuasion, and they're having a huge effect. But eventually, the common everyday man is going to rise up and take that area. And I don't mean that in a physical way. They're going to get so sick of it that they're going to deal with it, you know, through the, in the ballot box. They will deal with it eventually.
Either that or Bozeman is going to collapse of its own weight because all these rich out-of-staters move there and buy up these million-dollar, you know, houses in Bozeman, which are just like a regular house. It's $1 million in Bozeman. And then they move there because of all these cool little, you know, wine bars and little coffee shops and all these other things. Well, how is anybody going to afford to work at a coffee shop or a wine bar in Bozeman when they've destroyed the housing market so badly that nobody can afford there? So then So then when all those people leave and there's nobody to work at the wine bar and the coffee shop, then what are all these rich out-of-staters going to do with all their free time? Hey, I'm not sure how much time we have left in this segment, if we've got enough time to play Aaron's message. Aaron Flint sent in a special audio message for Montana Talks. Let's play that.
Hey, David, man, thanks for covering down on the show as always. I am here set up at Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls. Beautiful morning in the Flathead Valley. A cool breeze came through yesterday afternoon, got rid of the smoke, got rid of the hot air. So it's just a beautiful morning in the Flathead. Got to catch up with Governor Greg Gianforte just a few minutes ago. Hey, I want to give a heads up to our friends in Great Falls. This weekend, Saturday night, I'll be at the Fusion Fights in Great Falls, along with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana. And then Sunday morning, come see us. We're going to be at Tracy's Restaurant. This is going to be an event paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're going to be buying a bunch of gift cards to hand out to you to help you fight inflation. So 10:30 to 12:30, Sunday morning, Great Falls. Come see us. I'll be set up outside of Tracy's Restaurant. We'll have some gift cards for you to help you fight inflation, thanks to our friends at Americans for Prosperity Montana.
Yeah, those fusion fight nights are so much fun. I went to the one here in Billings, and it was fantastic. I wanted to finish the story about how these federal workers in D.C. are still working from home all the time. And so apparently there's federal rules that require these federal agencies to report if any of their offices are not meeting a 60% occupancy rate. So apparently, if they have at least 60% occupancy, they're happy with that. And I'm sitting there thinking that's like basically half. So you've got, let's say you've got a 20-story office building, you've got 10 stories that have people in it. The other 10 are empty, and oh yeah, we're good with that. But no, this is the crazy stuff. Okay, last year the federal government found that a majority of the agencies, 17 out of 24, used 25% or less of their office space. So we literally have a situation here, folks, where a majority of the federal government is using less than 25% of their office space. You realize how much office space the federal government has that's just sitting empty because these federal bureaucrats are sitting there working from home? It's absolutely egregious what is going on with all of that. And, of course, there's always stories about the failure of the EVs. And there's a big, huge story about how Porsche is scaling back its EV goal because, guess what? Nobody is buying EVs because we don't want EVs. We want gas-powered trucks. We want new Ford F-150s and GMC 1500s powered by gas. We'll be right back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now the media, state-run media mob, they're all in on Kamala Harris. I mean, to watch every major news publication say, well, no, she was never the borders are. Time Magazine, USA Today, Axios, ABC, The New York Times. She was the borders are. Anybody that's telling you differently is lying. We have 25,000 Biden-Harris illegal immigrants set to arrive in Chicago, a perfectly timed for the Democratic convention. I promise you city officials will prepare every way possible to hide them from the press that'll be descending into Chicago. By the way, if you are in Chicago, I need to know the best hot dog place in Chicago that has natural casing hot dogs with pickles and onions and the best bun.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, did you know a violent crime is committed every 24 seconds in America? And with our broken legal system, if you dare to defend yourself and your family, well, you're probably going to be the one put behind bars while criminals walk free. Now, see, they've got us to a point where we're fighting to keep our God-given Second Amendment rights, yet we risk losing everything if we actually use them. Now, that's why I've been a member of the USCCA for 9 years. And with the USCCA, not only do you get firearm safety, training, education, but you also get self-defense insurance, so you can stay out of prison with your family and your freedoms where you belong. And for a limited time, just text Hannity, H-A-N-N-I-T-Y, to 87222, 87222, to get a free Family Defense Guide and a chance to win $1,700 to buy any self-defense gear that you need. Everyone thinks that they're keeping their family safe, but are you really? Check out the USECA's free Family Defense Guide before it's too late. Text Hannity to 87222 right now, 87222.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You see the scene in televised sports all the time. The team is flailing, the opponent's taking over the game, and the coach calls timeout to address the team. In the next few minutes, things are turned around. There's a version of this story for the economy as well. Pep talk comes from the central bank in times of crisis. Perhaps the most famous one in recent times was when the euro currency was rattled by the Greek credit crisis, and then-President Mario Draghi of the central bank pledged to do whatever it takes to support the euro. Just like that sports timeout, the results were less panic and better outcomes. Doesn't always work, of course, in sports or in monetary policy. But the evidence is that central banks who couple bold policy moves with bold rhetoric in turbulent times have better outcomes than those who are mic-shy. The commonality between adroit coaching and policy management isn't entirely superficial. It's all about inspiring confidence, whether it's people trading in markets or skating around a hockey rink. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Boulevard, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, 29464.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's Montana Talks Live, and we've got callers on the line. So let's go to Jolene in Gallatin City. Jolene, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to talk about two things. I'm running for a House District 64 in Bozeman.
Tell people your last name, too, then.
Sorry, Jolene Crum, C-R-U-M.
Great.
Yeah. Yep, and I'm running for House District 64 in Bozeman. And so if you have listeners that are in that House District that would be game for a sign, to put a sign in their yard, I have some signs that need an address.
Great, and how can people contact you, or do you have a website or what?
How about I just give you my email? Is that good?
Yep.
All right, so it's just my name, so Jolene, and then Crum, C-R-U-M, so Jolene Crum at Gmail.
All right, and you're a conservative Republican, I assume.
Yeah, so the signs that just say Faith, Family, and Freedom, and then my name in the House District.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jolene. Appreciate the call. I hope you get some Bozeman folks to reach out because that's fantastic. Let's go to Paul in Bozeman. Paul, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I'm in the senior citizen class now, but when I first got to vote, people who were not on the property tax rolls did not get to vote on property tax issues. Now everybody gets to vote.
Right.
There's something inherently wrong in that, but our Supreme Court, of course, was at the bottom of that issue. Or on top, whatever you want to see. But in addition to that, I have personally seen fraud being attempted in the voter booth in Bozeman quite a number of years ago. And when I questioned it with the people that were in control, I got a shrug of the shoulder, and that's the best I got.
So that's your explanation for why Bozeman has gotten so woke and so radical left?
Well, it's got a lot to do with it.
I agree.
Some of the people that move in here, of course, bring their personal beliefs with them, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. But the rest of us need to be more vigorous about getting out and voting. I'm constantly amazed at the number of people that I know that don't vote or won't vote unless there's a candidate that fits their belief structure exactly. And when you don't vote for whatever the reason is, you give the opposition at least half a vote step ahead of you.
Right, right. Well, hey, Paul, thank you so much for the call. Really, really appreciate it. Hey, we've got Tanner Smith in Lakeside calling in. Tanner Smith, first, thanks for calling. And second of all, congratulations on your election to be the state of Montana's Republican National Committee man.
Well, thank you, Dave. Yeah, it's a well-earned vote. I'm proud and humbled to represent the Republican Party in Montana. And for the record, you're by far my favorite guest host that Aaron has on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Tanner. I don't know if you know, but you know, I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh with my dad, which is why I fell in love with talk radio, and it's always been a dream for me to be on, and I put a lot of effort into it. So for you to say that really means a lot.
Well, the birds of a feather flock together. I'm a Rush baby too.
Nice. So I feel terrible because I took your call right here at the end of the segment. If you can hang with us, I'll come to you, Tanner Smith, in Lakeside, right after this break, right at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour. Does that work for you?
Yep, I'll wait on hold. Yep.
All right, we'll throw Tanner Smith on hold. He'll be the first call here during the statewide hour. We'll be right back.